the Gospel of Matthew, we are in chapter 27, under the title The King's Trials. The King's Trials, this is the final week of Jesus' life here on earth before he will go to the cross. The last couple of weeks we studied two individuals who were involved in Jesus' trial. The first being Caiaphas, who was the high priest in Matthew chapter 26, verses 57 through 68. We also looked at Peter last week in Matthew 26, verses 69 through 75, where Jesus had predicted or prophesied that he would deny Jesus three times, and we saw the fulfillment of that, and then how Peter's response to Jesus. But we also said that even in Peter's stumble, even in Peter's denial, God still used him because Peter had a repentant heart. And so today we will continue in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we pick up the story where Judas returns. Judas returns. Can I get a volunteer to read Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 10? Matthew 27.
When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Judas' betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought by 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And he said, "What is that to us? You see to eat." Then he threw down the piece of silver in the temple, and the pilot went and hanged himself. But the chief priest threw the silver piece and said, "It is not enough to put them into the treasury, because they are deprived of blood." And they comforted together and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore, that field was being called the field of blood to this day. Verse 9. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the Maya, the prophet, saying, "And he took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was prized, whom they of the children of Israel prized, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed him."
Okay, thank you. So here we see Judas. Jesus had already stood trial in the middle of the night before Caiaphas. Verse 1 says, "When morning came, all the chief priests and elders to the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death." Again, we see the purpose of the trial was not to find, follow the natural course of law, but rather to get rid of Jesus, to put him to death. And so the Jewish council reconvened in the morning and delivered the official verdict. What was the verdict? Guilty. Guilty. Plotted against Jesus so that the people could not say that their hastily called night meeting was unlawful. Do most courts meet at night time?
No.
Why not? Because that's not normal. Yeah. And so what you've heard that expression, "What's done in the dark comes to the light." You see that Satan does his best work at night, in the darkness of our lives. And so not all were able to attend. They plotted against Jesus at night, a sham trial, so now they're going into the daytime to validate what they've already done. But the Jews did not have the authority to exercise capital punishment according to John chapter 18, verse 31. The Romans had taken over Jerusalem. And so the high priest, the Sanhedrin, were more like puppets. They were just the face of the Roman government itself. But they themselves had no power to condemn a person or to put a man to death. And so the prisoner went to Pilate, the Roman procurator, or in our translation says in verse number, is it 2? Verse number 2, the governor, he was the one who was responsible for the religious affairs in Jerusalem itself. And so, only he could sentence the prisoner to death. And so at this point, Judas returned to the scene. What was Judas trying to do? What was Judas trying to do?
Correct the wrong.
Correct the wrong. What's it, how was he trying to do that? He's trying to do what with the money? He's trying to give it back. Buyer's remorse. You ever had buyer's remorse? You get something and it's not what you expect, and you say, I just want to wash my hands of it. Huh? Because the thing in our mind is not the thing in reality. This is not what I signed up for. This is what I thought. You young people, let me talk to you. Because there are many things in this world that look tempting to you. Yeah, you say, man, when I go up, when I get old enough, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. Huh? And because you see everybody else doing, everybody else got a food. So I got a food. Everybody else is doing something, and then when you get it, it's not what you expect. And so here comes Judas. He tried to return to the scene. The thief always returns to the scene of the crime. Did you know that? In life, most people, when a crime is committed, they go back to the scene. Huh? Why do people do that? Curiosity, stupidity, guilt. You know, sometimes you may think, or we may think that we're so clever. You know what we think? We think we're so clever. Huh? Nobody knows. Huh? I did something, and guess what? All of us have done something that we regretted. Amen. Or we'll do something that we're going to regret. But sooner or later. And you have to deal with your conscience. You have to deal with your conscience. And so he witnessed the official trial and sentencing of Jesus and realized that what? He, Jesus, was condemned to that. Judas' response was one of remorse and regret. How many types of repentance are there? How many types of repentance are there? So I'm going to say one. What does repent mean? Or remorse? What is remorse? Another word for remorse. What's another word? I'm sorry. Are you sorry because you got caught? Or are you sorry because what you did was wrong? Because I got caught. Huh? I'm going to be apologizing because I got caught, but you've been doing that for a long time. Isn't that right? And our conscience sometimes becomes what? Numb. Because you turn that dial down in your mind. Because everybody's doing it. It's not a big deal. I can stop whenever I want. Huh? And so what was Judas trying to do? I'm trying to fix the problem. I'm trying to fix the problem because he didn't have a problem taking that dirty pieces of silver. He didn't have a problem handing Jesus over and betraying him with a kiss. He didn't have a problem that ain't no known to the money. So now when the deed is done, he wants to bring it back. Huh? He wants to bring the thing back. I don't want it now. That's what it's saying. That thing that won't be safe. I don't want it.
I'm sure he wasn't trying to see if I can help him with that particular.
Who's who?
You may not talk on the end results, but you need to dance.
Yeah.
Probably Christ the Messiah, he can save himself. Yeah. Then take the money and then go.
Yeah.
Or find that wasn't the way he thought it.
Yeah. Because we don't think things through, do we? You don't think that, like, if I do this, this might happen. So let me come to cause. No. Do we? I'm guilty. Guilty all day long. Yeah. I didn't count the cost. I took this job. I made this decision. And here come the consequences. Yeah? And so the Greek word translated repented himself in verse 3. What does it say? Matthew 27 and verse 3. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful or repented. Huh? He tried to change his mind. Repentance means to change your mind. Does that all repentance means? Repentance means to change your mind with a view to change your behavior. Huh? Because you know sometimes we repent in our mind, but we haven't changed anything. There's a difference between repenting and reporting. If you look like you're interested, I'll explain it to you. I got caught. The only reason I'm telling you and confessing is because you caught me. So now I've got to explain this. They made me in charge of the money. And I had this bill to pay. And I said, listen, I'll take the £100 this week and I'll put it back. Or I'll unuse it. I'll fix it. You do that one time, and nobody even noticed. Huh? And so you do it a second time, nobody's noticed. What's going to happen? It's a habit. Now I've gotten caught. They only found out that I took the £100, huh? And so we come to church and say, brothers and sisters, I have sinned, I repent of that sin, and ask for the prayers of the church. But did you give the money back? Because remember that question we asked way back when we were studying. If I borrow my neighbor's lawnmower when I'm not a Christian, I get baptized and repent of my sins, can I keep my neighbor's lawnmower now that I'm a Christian? Why? It was a sin when I wasn't a Christian, and it's still a sin now that I'm a Christian. Not repent. And be back, you gotta do something. Huh? What the R stands for in your car? What that R stands for? It means repent. Huh? You put the car in reverse in R. And what you gotta do, you gotta press the gas so the car can go. Because listen, I'm driving home for a parking spot. And I've driven past the parking spot. I put in the pants. And what I gotta do? I gotta go back and fix it. Huh? But if I just put in R and stay right here like I've done anything, if that's true in the natural, it's gotta be true in the spiritual. You know what? You was
acting in class, I was not performing.
That's right, but you changed your mind. I've gone too far, and I've got to go back and fix it. Huh? So, here was Judas. He repented. He said, I want to give it back. And what those Jews say? We don't want that money. Because that's what? That's blood money. Huh? It's your problem, not my problem. You know what happens?
Yeah.
So, the Greek word translated repenting himself in Matthew 27:3 indicates not a sorrowful sin that leads to a change of mind and what? You change your mind and you change your behavior. But a regret at being what? Caught. A remorse that leads to despair. Because guess what? Here's a reality. John 3:16. Get this in your mind. There is nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. There is no sin so big that God cannot forgive you for. But sometimes, so we know that in our mind, but you know what our problem is? Sometimes we can forgive ourselves. Isn't that right? You ever been there? Is it just me? Sometimes I know God you forgive me, but I just can't forgive myself. Huh? And it's a battle where you know, thinking. Isn't that right? That's a transaction that takes place. And so Judas, he was so overcome with remorse, what did he do? What did he do? He wanted to pick. Is that what God desired? He could not overcome his sin. So he repented, but he had not truly repented. That makes sense. And so for us, huh? The Bible says in, is it Romans Where is it? The Beatitudes of Singing. Where is it? Romans chapter. Is that Romans 3:23? For all have sinned.
The wages of sin.
Where is that? Romans chapter 5.
363.
Make sure it's in there now. Read that for us. Because you know, it's one thing to know what the Bible says in our hand, but what about our heart? Do we really believe God? Because here was Judas, here's the reality. Judas was right there with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He slept with Jesus. He ate with Jesus. That's a lesson for us. That's a lesson for us. Sometimes we can feel like, you know what, I've done too much. Lord, you can't forgive me. Romans chapter
6:23.
3:23 says, all have sinned. 6:23 says what? For the wage. What is a wage? What's a wage? The reward for the work that you do is a wage. So we sin and we get paid for the sin. And what's the wage?
But the gift of God.
The gift of God. That's God's grace. So when we repent of our sin, I know I've sinned, I messed up, Lord, when he says, I'm going to take the punishment and I'm going to give you a gift. The gift of God is what? Eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is a present possession and a future hope. Eternal life, you have it now, but you have the reality when Jesus comes. Yeah? Eternal life. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have what? Life, and that you might have it more, not just abundantly, more. So here comes Satan. Because some of us, you hear me saying us, have become Satan's best employees. Huh? And don't think that your sin will not receive a reward. Everything we think we've done secretly, God will bring to light. But we have the opportunity to do what? To repent. And to repent means to what? You've got to change your mind with a view to changing your actions. I might not be able to, I may just be able to take baby steps. God's not expecting for you to just, you've got this addiction or habit or whatever it is. It took time to develop that habit. It will take time to undo. Isn't that right?
So, we can't look at Jesus that witness for himself.
Why couldn't he forgive himself?
I don't know.
Perhaps he's saying that it's just too much. It's overwhelmed. It's just overwhelmed my grief and my remorse. Mm-hmm. There are some times when you don't know what to do. And Paul said sometimes when we pray, we don't even know what to pray. But the Spirit makes intercession for us. And so God gave all of us a conscience. But your conscience needs to be educated. Right? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing. The word of God spoke to Judas. The word of God spoke to Peter too. The word of God speaks to us today. It was the same word then, it's the same word now. Isn't that right? And so, it's not that we don't know in our head, but we got to translate that into our heart to say, you know what, I know I've messed up. That's confession. I have repented, Lord. I want to stop going in the wrong direction. I want to turn away from sin and I want to turn back towards you. And Lord, help me to just make it through today. Huh? Just today. I'm not asking for tomorrow. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the King. Let him reign and rule. And all these things shall be added unto you. So we know these things, but But we need to connect the dots. And so Peter truly repented. And Jesus did what? He restored it. But Judas did not truly repent. And this led him to suicide. Huh? You do not have the right to take your own life. You know why? Because your life is a gift from God. And you don't have the right to take your own life. Isn't that right? And so that's a difficult funeral to preach. That's a difficult funeral to preach. But help us, may God help us to understand how and why people may make that decision. We see this in scripture. You see? So we can't divorce ourselves from the reality that the human mind is so fragile. The human mind is so fragile. And that's why we need each other. Relationship. And so it's not that Judas couldn't do the right thing, he didn't do the right thing. It makes sense? And so Judas had sold Jesus for the price of a slave, according to Exodus 21:32. In desperation, he threw the money on the temple floor and left. The Lord would not permit the use of this kind of tainted money for temple purposes. May we bring our offering to God. When we bring our offering to God, how are we to bring our offering to God? It's from the heart. Yeah? Let a man purpose. Where? In his heart. And don't give it what? Grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a what? Was Judas cheerful? He was tearful, he was not cheerful. You see that? Huh? So when we come, it's more than the action, it's our attitude. It's our attitude. Lord, I don't have much, but I'm offering myself to you. Here was Peter. Peter. And here was Jesus. Both had the same dilemma. Each one made different decisions. Yeah? And so, the leaders were careful to observe the law even while they were guilty of breaking the law. Now they were self-righteous and saying, we can't take this blood money back. But they would have a trial for Jesus and condemn him before he even was tried. Isn't that interesting? So they got the righteousness on this side about the money. But you got the word right here in front of you. And you want to condemn him. Isn't it interesting? And so they used the money to do what? What did they do with the money? They bought this potter's field where Jewish strangers who died could be buried properly. Even today, in most countries, if you die and they can't identify your body, the government buries you. Did you know that? And you don't get a good you. They just put you over there. They put all the remains sometimes in one place. But they have a responsibility to make sure that you're there. And they might just give you a number. The body number 12345. You don't know who he is, who she was, but we're going there. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Someone read that for us. Acts 1.
Now, this man purchased the field to the wages of iniquity.
Yeah.
And falling headlong, it was open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out.
Yeah.
And became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem. So that field is called in their own language, Atres Damar Tati. Field of blood.
The field. Judas went off by himself, brooded over his terrible crime, and finally hanged himself. Apparently his body was not discovered for some days because it became bloated and his bowels gushed out. Perhaps the tree limb on which he was hanging also broke and helped to cause this. We don't know. And so, Acts 1:18 does not say that Judas committed suicide in the field. Yeah. That the priest had bought with the money. That act would have defiled the land, and the priest would never have purchased the land with that money. Acts 1:18 states that the money Judas acquired was used to buy the land. Judas could not purchase a field with the money because he gave the money back to the priest. The priest called the cemetery the field of blood because it was purchased with blood money. That's where that expression comes from, blood money. Judas's suicide was more blood to the name since it, sorry, added more blood to the name since it was he who contributed the money to actually buy the field. Then we go on to Pilate. Pontius Pilate. Matthew 27, and verse 11 says, "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said, It is as you say. And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered, What? No. No. There's a time to speak and there's a time not to speak. Yeah. Then it says, and Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many things that they testify against you? He answered him, Not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. If a police officer showed up here today and arrested you, took you down to Magistrate's Court, would you keep silent? Oh, you be talking. Call my mama, call my daddy, call someone. You must have the wrong person. It wasn't me. You sure you have the right person? Huh? Jesus answered them, no. And so Pontius Pilate was the sixth Roman governor who served in Judea. He was not liked by the Jews because he did things that deliberately violated their law and provoked them. He was not about killing people to accomplish his purposes, according to Luke 13:1. And so Pilate's position was always rather a precarious one because of his bad relationship with Israel and because Rome's changing policy with the Jews. Here was a man trying to serve both ends. Trying to serve both ends. What does the Bible say? No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or love the one. You cannot serve God and what? This is in the Bible. This is in the Bible. And so, the Jewish leaders accused him of three crimes. They claimed that he was guilty, number one, of misleading the nation. Number two, of forbidding the paying of taxes. Remember, whose image is on this coin? They said Caesar, and then what did Jesus say? Ran down to Caesar the thing, huh? What did that mean? Obey the laws of the land. Obey the laws of the land. You and I, as Christians, do not have the right or responsibility to, even if the government is corrupt, you have a responsibility to obey the law as a Christian. I don't care what everybody else is doing or not doing, you have a responsibility, according to Romans chapter 13. To obey the laws of land, because rulers and judges are not a terror. They are appointed by who? Appointed the good and the bad now. The good and the bad, because God is the ultimate judge. Because Jesus already said in Matthew 28, we'll get to that, how much authority has been given to him?
All
authority. And so God gives his authority through Christ to man, and one day all authority will be taken from man and go back to Jesus. Yeah, so he brings the rules now, and he will judge the world in righteousness and then give that authority back to the Father. Yeah? And number two, claiming to be a king. Are you the king of the Jews? It is as you say. You already know that. You're asking a question that you already had the answer to. And so, they were definitely political charges, the kind that a Roman governor could handle. I got this. We got him where we want him. And who was behind all of this action? Satan himself. Satan uses people. Did you know that? Romans chapter 6, we wrestle not against If you're fighting people, you're fighting the wrong person. If you can see the enemy, that's not the right person. Huh? Well, who we fight? We fight people, don't we? Your neighbor, your cousin, your co-workers, the boss, the man, the system. Huh? That's not the real enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and rulers of darkness. Huh? That's it. And so Paul is focused on the third charge, claim to be a king, that Jesus claimed to be a king because this was a definite threat to Rome. Why? Because see, there's something built in all of us. All of us are insecure. Somebody's faster than you, taller than you, cuter than you, more handsome than you. They're trying to take your position at the job. And what you do, I can't stand him, I can't stand her. But you don't even know that person. I don't like the prime minister, I don't like the president, I don't like the governor. Neighbor buys a car, you go and get a car. Neighbor cuts the lawn, you go cut your lawn. Huh? What is that? That's your ego. That's your ego. Huh? It's true. Isn't that true? Huh? Look at me. See how many likes I get. Social media. Hey man. Girl, look. She's got 20,000, 20 million views. And so, if Pilate could deal with this revolutionary properly, Pilate could please the Jews, guess what? And impress the emperor at the same time. Huh? Yeah, brother. Yeah, brother. Anybody know what that expression to that expression drop a dime? What does drop a dime mean? Did you know what?
Drop a dime like this.
No, no, drop a dime. Drop a dime. You've got some juicy information and I'm gonna turn somebody in or tell somebody, listen, you didn't hear it from me. Huh? Don't tell anybody, but I saw. Oh, I heard, oh, I knew, I got some juicy gossip. What you trying to do? You're trying to curry favor with somebody. Huh? That might get me a promotion.
What part is in?
I'm trying to impress the boss. Then what we trying to do? Huh? Let the cats away. If the boss knew what happened around him when he wasn't around, or maybe when the boss is in his office, everyone is working hard. Then what happens? Huh? So none of us have ever seen God before. But is it true? You answer this in your mind, you're gonna say it out loud. Is it true that we work harder for our boss that we see than God in heaven? Why? Because we're trying to impress the boss we can see instead of the one we can see. I'm going to do the right thing over here, but I'm not going to do the right thing with you. All right. All you the king of the Jews, Pilate asked. Jesus gave him a clear reply. It is as you see. However, Jesus then asked Pilate the question. Look at John chapter 18. See, when you ask Jesus a question, he'll ask you a question. John chapter 18, verses 34 through 37. John 18, 34 through 37, says what?
Jesus asked, what did others hear about you? Verse 5, am I a Jew? Pilate replied, your own people are choosing this under you over to me. What is it you have done? 36. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If this were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. 37. You are a king. Then, said the Pilate, Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. 38. What is the truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews that gathered there and said, I find no biases for a charge against him.
What is truth? That's a good question. Huh? Truth is standing right in front of you. There's a game we all play in our mind that we play like we're ignorant. Especially when we get cold. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know I was speeding. Did you know you were speeding? Huh? I didn't know you couldn't move in there. Yes, you did. Huh? Because you waited until nobody was, or you thought nobody was looking. That's what we do. Huh? And so, Jesus examined Pilate's conscience. And at the end, what did Pilate say? I find no fault in this man. You've heard the expression, there's three sides to every story. Three sides to every story. What are those three sides? Your side, my side, and the truth. Huh? And what we try to do, we try to get our side across first. Listen, I can explain before Dutton comes up here and tells you his story. Let me explain it to you. Now, the person that gets there first is normally the person that's what? Lying. Huh? I'll be trying to explain it. Mom, I can explain what happened. What's it mean? You know, but I know who did it. And so, they questioned Jesus. Was Pilate thinking of kingship in the Roman sense when he asked Jesus that question? Jesus explained to the governor that his kingdom was not of this world, that he had no armies. That his followers did not fight. Let me say that again, that his followers did not fight. Rather, his kingdom was a reign of truth. This conversation convinced Pilate that Jesus was not a dangerous revolutionary. He said, I find the fault in him, was his decision. But the Jewish rulers insisted that Pilate condemn Jesus. They repeated their charges and, as they lodged on them, mentioned that Jesus was from Galilee. When Pilate heard this, he saw the way out of his dilemma. Listen, I don't want to get in trouble with these Roman people, with the Roman government in particular. Since Galilee was under Herod's jurisdiction, what was he going to do? I'm going to get rid of him. Huh? I'm going to get rid of Jesus. It is possible that Herod was displeased with Pilate because Pilate had slain some of Herod's citizens, according to Luke 13:1. This would have been an opportunity for Pilate to become reconciled to Herod. Pilate wanted to solve the problem by not making a definite decision about Jesus. As a Roman governor, he would pledge to uphold the law, but as a politician, he knew that he had to get along with the people. Every decision Pilate made forced him to make another decision, even for us. Every decision has a consequence. And even no decision is a decision. Huh? Isn't that right? He said, I'm not good. You got vote that we just had an election this month in Britain. And about 55% of the population voted. It's the lowest number in number of years, right? So just over half of the eligible population of the UK voted this year. Now you may say that's interesting, but guess what? Even the people that didn't vote voted. Yeah. The folk that didn't vote, you know what they say? You know what they vote for? I'm happy with what's going on. But I don't vote. Yes, you do. You voted. See, because if you don't say yes to Jesus, you automatically said yes to who? To Satan. You're either working for Jesus or you're working for the devil. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. Yeah? So, those that know the truth and don't obey the truth, guess what their consequence is? Death. Yeah. It's so... Every decision is a decision, and no decision is a decision. Figure that. Let that marinate for you. Huh? Do you love Jesus? If everybody says yes, I love Jesus. And Jesus said, if you love me, you should do what? So if you don't keep his commandments, guess what that says? You don't obey. It's easy. A child can understand that. A child can understand that Jesus said, my people were not come with an army, were not raised no more. They love the truth. I could call for an army. My kingdom is a kingdom of truth. And truth will always stand alone. It's like cream rising to the top. Right? You don't have to argue about it. It will always be the truth. That we deny it. And everywhere you go, truth is truth in Africa. Truth is truth in Asia. Truth is truth here in the UK. Truth is truth everywhere. Isn't that right? Just like gravity. It's God's law. It's God's way. And so, Pilate, until Jesus was a Pilate was a prisoner of his own evasion, or trying to pull off things or make a decision. He questioned Jesus further, but Jesus made no reply. Made no reply. That's the end of it. So, next week, Lord willing, we'll look at Pilate's scheme a bit more and what decision he made with Jesus. Because they would put before him two choices. Jesus or Barabbas. Jesus or Barabbas. And you know, here's a question. Here is a universal question all of us must consider. Who crucified Jesus? Who crucified Jesus? All of us crucified Jesus. We all put Jesus on the cross. That's the truth. But it had to happen that way. It had to happen that way because the Bible says he became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And so that was God's plan. That was God's great scheme of redemption, even in our ignorance. Romans 5:8 says what? But God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was a transaction that took place even before the foundation of the world. God made a decision about your salvation even before you existed. And why did he do it? Because he loved us. And because he knew that we needed a solution to our sin problem. So what was that? That was a decision. All of life is a decision. It's a decision. So, Jesus, the Bible says, harden not your heart. Why? Because he wants you to choose life. What is life? Life is Jesus. I am the way. Not a way. The way. And here comes truth again. God made a way for you to find the truth so that you can have a life. You didn't deal with it. You didn't deal with it. Huh? Man, I had a good life before I was Christian. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You thought you were living up, but you were really living it down. You were condemning yourself. And now that you know better, now that we know better, guess what God wants us to do? Make better decisions. And that's what we're here for, I hope. Our job when we come on Sunday morning for Bible class, ends up a Bible class, is for us to clean our laundry. Huh? Church is a hospital. We come sick, broken. I didn't know that before I came here. Lord help me. Huh? Anybody saying that in my mind? I've got some work to do this week. I say that every time. The lesson is for me. Huh? I have to wrestle with myself with these lessons. Man, Smith, you sure you want to say that? But I've got to deliver the message. With urgency and in love. Yeah? We all need this. The world needs this. And as we accept this and embrace this truth, it will help us to be better people. And will help us to see people differently. Mm-hmm.
Huh? Because the world may not know what we knew. And so we have a responsibility to go out and live differently. Huh? Not like we before. Because Jesus was paid an awful price so that you and I can go free. It makes sense? Any questions or comments? Going once, going twice. Now there'll be an exam next week. And if you don't pass the exam, what's going to happen, Brother George?
Can't get to heaven.
That's the truth. Let's pray.